Hello, my name is Nicole Grimm.
And I'm Ben Rocky.
And this is Mayhem and Misfits, where we take a fun look at business gone awry and the systems that save them. Today, we're going to talk about enterprise resource planning, otherwise known as ERP basics.
It's a good acronym to know.
That's correct. These three letters have been around since about 1990. I saw a video, informational video, that said that Gartner coined the phrase in 1990. It originally started with manufacturing side of the world, if you will, where they were really getting into lean manufacturing, which we've kind of mentioned in previous episodes before as well. In that space, they knew that within manufacturing operations as itself, it needed to do a better job at making sure that it had the right vendors and the right equipment and the right resources to perform their manufacturing activities. And it had to be just the right mix, not too much and not too little.
Yeah, I think the name itself implies the importance of it. I believe it started as a business process that morphed into what we know as an information system, but the idea of enterprise-wide planning your resources.
Right. So ERP now is a software package that tracks and logically organizes and reports, synchronizes and tries to control also the core business processes for a business. Not only how is it operating to consume resources, but how are all of those intertwined parts working, sharing information, and what have you. So it includes materials that you would need for sourcing to fulfill orders, tracking your inventory, managing warehouse operations, and reporting all those activities across the organization and up through the organizational structure as well, so that it's also flowing through how much this material costs, what the ownership is, and the like, so that the management can see how business is operating, look for any issues to resolve, make corrections and improvements throughout that whole process.
Yeah, it's that one, you hear the phrase a lot, but it's the, single pane of glass. You only have to look through one window.
Right, to see all the pieces and parts. And you can dig in, you can see from a high level, you can get into more details, what have you, into these software packages. And it's all built on routine, proven logic, essentially. A lot of these ERPs today are based on configuring, not necessarily writing code as it would be. So a lot of best case scenarios, test cases, we've seen this work before. This lean idea is built into these software packages since it went beyond just the manufacturing and expands into, what people you need and what positions with what skill sets, in addition to what vendors you need, what your customers are ordering, and how that all automatically triggers underlying accounting events throughout the system and those activities. So it actually goes beyond just accounting software. So many people might know that you can start with bookkeeping, you have some accounting software, but ERPs are well beyond anything that just manufacturing is using or just HR people are using or what have you. They really do have this goal, as I say many times in our work, that they would love to take over the world, these said ERP systems. They're in charge of
everything.
Everything. They track it all. You can see everything through this single pane of glass, as you said.
Yeah, it builds that relationship between everything.
Right. So the core business purpose of an ERP is to automatically and through this single system, if you will, share critical business information with anyone who really needs it throughout the organization. And they may need it for many different purposes. So perhaps for budgetary planning in a certain department, you need to understand what bills have been paid, what vendors are sending in. Even you may have budgeted something and then the bill comes in, it's not matching. All these kinds of activities to that level can be facilitated through ERP systems.
Yeah, many ERP systems will handle all of your business needs. There's going to be HR components and customer resource management or customer relationship components and even work order and maintenance issues related to your business outside of your production scope. It can handle essentially any function of your business.
Right.
Now there's a down the rabbit hole about they don't do everything. And yeah, sometimes there's add-ons you get. But the intent, the import of an ERP is that on the whole, it will handle a large number of the facets of your business. That's the intent of it. That's the point of it is a mm-hmm. is a tool that manages the whole of your business enterprise-wide.
Right. It wants to be the system of record. And we should, like you mentioned, just highlight that there are areas where it may fall short of a specific niche software or customization or what have you.
The secret sauce, the secret sauce stuff. There might be secret sauce stuff to your business that it may not do inherently. That doesn't mean it can't be made to do it, or
because you can customize them.
But most businesses are the same. You do a service, you make a product. 85-90% of it is the same, and then it's that other 10% you got to figure out.
Right. So that's the idea of what an ERP is. Why is it helpful? Well, of course, you're going to have the opportunity to see what your best case scenarios, best practices, recommendations, these kinds of things, what the world has figured out has worked for other larger scale businesses, depending on the ERP that you select. Since this is a general industry, ERPs come in many different flavors and sizes. Overall, they're going to bake in what they've seen work for other organizations in their general practices. And then you just have to leave that small facet of exactly what is your secret sauce that makes you unique in delivering your product or service to the customer as the one piece that you can customize and add to the software or integrate and attach to this ERP software, if you will. So overall, an ERP system should offer you efficiency, control, scale, and access to really like essentially like a global market of technology advancements. Especially today, nowadays you can get cloud versions that have artificial intelligence built in, dashboarding built in, where maybe you haven't necessarily as an organization figured out how to deploy dashboards and business intelligence reporting and these kinds of tool sets. Nowadays, they bake in to the ERP platforms today.
Yeah, I'd say there's two reasons a lot of IT leaders go to their business leaders and say, hey, this thing's going to give us two things. It's going to, one, help us with standardization. So these things, these best practices for either for accounting or for manufacturing or for human resources, all these ERP systems build themselves on whatever the industry standards are and whatever the legal guidelines you have to follow. All of these ERPs follow the same accounting playbook, legal compliance playbook, employee resource playbook, so that you stay compliant and, mm-hmm. and legal.
Right.
And the other thing that these ERP systems do, all of them, is give you that out of the box experience of, if we just use this thing for what it does first, and then we'll build on what we need to build on to make it match up to our way of working, we're going to solve 10 problems today. That's the IS leader's pitch a lot of the time, is it's going to get us to best standard, the best practice, and it's going to get us this out of the box working right off the kilt. That sounds super simple out loud, but it does do that. That's what these, it gives you that standard to build against.
Right. So essentially we're leaning hard on this ERP as a software, as we mentioned. So this is the technical side of things. We'll get into what makes this a challenge as we continue.
Adoption.
Yeah. Right. Adoption and the people process parts of things. But overall, ERPs are one system of record that you can see how the business is operating through all the different facets of the business. including accounting and warehousing and manufacturing and inventory and what have you, and sales and all kinds of different areas, all mixed together into one space where it's translating it into things that you can understand and dashboards that you can track to better operate the business, run it more efficiently, also maintain that control and logic and consistency across, so what we're not reinventing wheels all the time, so that it saves you money and time and reduces mistakes. Many ERPs we have seen kind of lock you in, so you do survive audits and compliances and that kind of thing, because there's only one way to do the thing, or there's only two ways to do the thing. You have to follow these rules, which helps to maintain the compliancy of your business, so that you know that we're not, you know, putting out the product different every time. It's very consistent across the board, and we can track it by lots and serial numbers and all kinds of things, so we know exactly where these things came from. And in our industry, where you have food safety or agricultural concerns, you can track it back to what block or vineyard or orchard it came from, so that if you did have to track that back and find any kind of compliance issue or food safety issue, these things are all built into the way the systems work. And they're making sure too that people aren't changing things out of kind or deleting company records, as an example. These kinds of things are all controlled so that it makes sure that you're even better positioned and you can truly trust your numbers and what the system's telling you. That kind of structure can sometimes offer some challenges for the people and process part of implementing an ERP, which we'll get into. So first, let's go through some mayhem. The fun part. What does it look like when we don't have an ERP, or when a business doesn't run an ERP? We've seen it ourselves, both Ben and I, where we'll see customers trying to run the business literally in spreadsheets.
Yeah, or multiple spreadsheets for one thing, an application to handle your production system and another thing, maybe another production system for inventory control, accountings through QuickBooks or some online feature.
Right, a various hodgepodge of systems, applications, spreadsheets, manual processes, right, that all kind of interconnect-ish, and that's what they run the whole entire business off of.
Yeah, maybe you were lucky enough to have somebody who could figure out how to pass data between some of these systems, but so much of it just ends up being human action to make this data, you know. And so how many times have you heard your accounting team say, okay, so it's month end, so don't talk to me for 10 days. And they spend the first part of each month not doing anything other than trying to coalesce all the data into a...
and fix it, adjust it. We've seen companies that haven't closed the books, oh my gosh, for a couple months because they had an issue come up in some pile of spreadsheets they have going, or the reporting isn't turning out or what have you. But I've seen it too. And all of these disconnected moving parts that have various levels of control built into them all offer no control, consistency. They offer complication, additional steps, so little efficiency that's built into the overall process.
Valuation of your inventory is almost impossible.
Right. Or it can change on you a lot. These calculations inside of spreadsheets are really delicate. If somebody accidentally does something, then it can foobar up most of it. These sheets we've seen are very complex, all interconnected. And then we'll see this time and time again. This one person knows how this one spreadsheet works that does this calculation that's 5,000 lines long, something like this.
Yep.
It's all built into it. So Not only that, but we also have those manual and controlled entry point, uncontrolled entry points. And we spend a ton of time trying to, as we would see it in the accounting team, where they can't close the books efficiently. And that's one of the metrics that we would see at a traditional accounting group, if you will, is how fast can you close your books and finish out the month, lock and load it, and it won't change on you mid-month or the next round through. How many times are you correcting issues and that kind of thing? Another thing we've mentioned here is that you'll see business operating disparate or niche systems, like you mentioned, if you just have an accounting system that may track accounting, but the inputs coming in are based off that spreadsheet model. And then we've also seen the example where we might have an organization have an ERP, but they outgrow it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we would see more prone errors. Maybe you're bogging the system down if you are actually in an ERP, but you've outgrown the capabilities of that system. It can be really slow. Maybe batch jobs or things like that take more than just the night to run. You start running into it's still running and it's the morning and everyone's coming in for their shift or something like that.
No, that's brutal.
Right. So these are all indicators that you have a concern in this area and need to reconsider what you're going to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, normally our mayhem can be very targeted, but one of the unique things about ERP is we can list the number of mayhem events that make ERPs become a important tool set to look at.
Right, right. So from there, we would, in this chaos, in this mayhem of our daily function and not closing the books and we have to keep correcting and I'm spending half my day fixing stuff and answering questions and sending off reports, it's another thing, right? We've seen customers that were, they had an ERP system, but they were using it like an accounting system. So that
or they were only using it for accounting.
They were only using it for accounting. And the operations team had their own custom app because they couldn't fit into the ERP. And
well, they thought they couldn't fit
into the ERP. Well, we're coming into this, right? This is the state they were in. And this might look and feel familiar many times because accounting is accounting, as we say. One plus one equals two. And they're fairly consistent and come from a solid background. And it's not a lot of moving parts in terms of new ideas and new innovations and what have you, in terms of how can we perform accounting in this new fandangled way. This doesn't really happen very often. So many times the accounting side of things can be almost the easiest to just click and load right into an ERP and run from there. And you may see that the disconnect or the mayhem part of it is on the operations side. That's what we've seen many times where they are very unique, very original in their use of manufacturing or what product they're making, and they haven't been able to find any particular system that would bring both worlds together and manage to the complexity and unique nature of operating the business and what they're making to the consistent and structured nature of an accounting team. So that's where the challenge of implementing an ERP comes into play. So if you're in this mayhem and you want to get to that misfit, first question you have to ask is ERP for you as an organization?
And honestly, it's not necessarily for everyone.
Right. You do have to have an organization that is ready for it. And it has to come from the top, as we would say.
Yeah.
Because it is an overall adoption of the organization as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of comes back to, you know, what we were calling out early. ERPs are holistic for your business. And they're based on principles and best practices that are business-wide. So if you've not been following some of those, you're going to have to make an adjustment to that, which is a positive thing in reality. It's a good way if you've been struggling with getting everyone to swim the same way. Adopting the ERP is going to encourage aka force everyone to swim the same way.
Yes. So is it, it's going to be built on routine logic. And so is your business ready for that? And we would highlight again and again from the top down. We've seen implementations where they say, we're going to implement this. The idea is sound, but we from the top know that we'll need customizations. And then we see these projects go into customization bliss, if you will, to a point where they're almost trying to get the new ERP system to act like the old one. And that's where we have to asterisk and say, are you really ready for the ERP you've purchased? Or are you just trying to get the ERP juice out of it with when changing it as well?
Yeah, making a lot, which there's reasons to do that. And if you've worked with your professionals and you've worked with your process people to figure out like, nope, for what we do, our secret sauce really requires this. And there is conversations to have about that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you make those changes, then you've committed to a course and you're going to have to make those changes stick with every version of the software. It's something you really have to negotiate and ask if, on the other hand, you can adopt what's been created, you'll have a much easier time moving forward with the ERP and taking advantage of its intended value.
Right. So ERP is going to give you that one data set that you can operate from. So we're really merging all into one and really binding the organization as one. So it does have that affect, if you will, of giving you that piece to hold on to make sure that everyone is cohesively operating the business in that way. So there's a few leading ERPs in the space that perhaps people have heard of, and our dear listener may have come across some advertisements or seen other organizations run them. And some of the big ones are SAP, Oracle, NetSuite, and Dynamics, all from big tier one, large, complex organization type ERP systems. So these are going to be your huge international, all over the world, they're operating these businesses and running this single system, if you will, to manage all of those different locations, like I mentioned, throughout the world in many cases. Mm-hmm. So these software packages are built with that in mind and can transcend, if you will, continents and countries and currencies and what have you, and almost do it seamlessly, essentially for any level of the team that your organization happens to be operating this ERP from. So no worries in that space. There's also some smaller niche ERPs that are specific for a certain industry. There's some that's like Odoo that's out there. There's Epicor. There's Infor I've seen before. I've seen Infor used just for the specific maintenance department as an example. So you may even have some ERPs in your organization perhaps that are being operated, like we mentioned in our mayhem, just like an accounting system. Mm-hmm. They're only using that one slice of the entire pie. Mm-hmm. So keep your eye out for that. There's also some accounting software out there that has, as you increase in its complexity, operates more like an ERP, like many have seen QuickBooks as an example, where we'll have QuickBooks as like an accounting software. And then eventually, if you get into more of the enterprise version of it, it's leaning more towards that ERP facility for you. There's tons of different niche and extensions of ERPs in the nursery or space as an example. They have different variations on top of the core ERP. So for example, you might have some specialists that are out there implementing ERP that have a specific background. I've seen some that are in for growers, but they're using a Dynamics ERP or a SAP ERP baseline, and then they have put their secret sauce or built in your industry secret sauce into the product line already.
They'll mod the product line for your industry.
Right. So not only do you have this area of looking for, is ERP right for you, but what is the marketplace answering to within the ERP that makes it look more like you than otherwise would have on its own face, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is tons of different variations you can do in just in your search for, is ERP for you? So following just answering that question, the next one would be selecting the right one for you. And that can be a challenge, a fun one, perhaps, depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
Right. And some keys that we may say here to make it a misfit approach would be trying to find a third party to just help you search for one.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting benefit to a company going through the selection process. You're going to learn a lot about your business when you do it. That's what's interesting. The things that you thought you understood, you're going to start having conversations with the other leaders in your organization, because this is not something you do in a vacuum. This is an enterprise-wide solution. That means, you know, whether you're 50 employees or you're 5,000 employees, you've got people who are in charge of certain areas of your business, and they need to be included in the selection process, because they're going to have input and concerns about how the ERP software is going to help them regulate and maintain and grow the business with it. Mm-hmm. So a part of that process, this discovery process, is as you begin to come up with questions and areas to look at, you're going to find that you're going to be talking with other members of your organization about, what do we need? What are we worried about? And there might be some things that you hadn't considered that are going to come up in this process. It's a real interesting minute in your business to have some performance improvement, some process improvement.
Right. So one of the things that we've done for our customers is help them independently search for whatever ERP system or business application systems are right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important facet to even searching, because it is a large process, very complex, and has lots of moving parts. And there's tons of vendors out there and the ways that they apply their expertise to the product, if you will. And each one of these, whether they be large ERPs or smaller, could come at the implementation selection process and what have you in their own way, right? So for the larger, as an example, your SAPs and Dynamics and Oracles and like, a lot of times they will offer partners that implement it for you. So you've got already these two parts at the top that are trying to assist in this process.
Mm-hmm.
So first things first, we would suggest that independent support in shopping that have done this before, and they can help you with that selection and making sure that your organization is ready. And not only that, help through the process with the vendors that you select to make sure that you don't have to rinse and repeat the same information over and over again to these vendors to try to get a apple versus apple comparison of the things that you're shopping for.
Yeah, having somebody who is agnostic about the platform that you're looking for is really important at this stage, because it's at this stage you want a partner, you want some information solutions peoples in your room that are helping you think about what you need to consider for your organization, and not how do I fit you into SAP or NetSuite or Dynamics or
any other ones in the marketplace.
But instead, okay, what's your main focus is? Where have you been struggling? What are you prepared to adopt? What are you going to need? There's a lot of considerations, because when you make this decision, there's something else that's kind of happening, and that's you're committing to information solutions for your organization. Mm-hmm. Whether you go hire people to come into your business and set up an IS department, or you do it through consultants and support programs, there is going to be someone who needs to be around to help you make sure this thing runs smooth.
Right. So in this selection process, we're aware that in our case, we help select technology and the partner, the implementation approach, if you will, mm-hmm. organizational impact,
timelines,
the RFP process, request for proposal, and these kinds of things that you can officiate, if you will, in trying to make sure that you're getting a consistent answer across all the products so that you can compare like for like. Mm-hmm. That would be the biggest thing. And making sure that these vendors are trying to show you in the product, not necessarily just showing the product where you have to try to figure out how you would fit into
Look at this pretty screenshot. That's right. Cool. What does that screenshot do though?
Or even how do you actually perform sales and manufacturing and what have you? They've got to make sure that they're making you see yourself in it. That's one of the biggest portions.
Oh, yeah.
Then we try to make sure you do a business first approach, making sure that we're putting technology in its right place and looking at that people and process first that folds into that technology so that we don't get too diluted, excited, unintendedly excited about features and functions that may or may not actually impact the business based on the way that you've traditionally used technology or adopted technology.
Yeah.
Then from there, select the product itself. Which one seems to align the best?
Yep.
Which one do you see yourself in the best? Which one can you afford the best? Which one is aligned to your growth trajectory or path, right? We mentioned in the mayhem, we've seen systems that are outgrown by the company. In that case, they had run their ERP system for quite some time. So they definitely got their run for their money out of that.
Yeah. And they, and you know, it's more of a graduation. We've, mm-hmm. our business grew, so we need more.
Right.
So we just need to graduate to the system that matches us.
Exactly. And in this case, if you were searching for a new one, you want to make sure that if you are actually a medium-sized ERP fit, that you're not buying a small-sized one so that you buy and then a year later you've found the end already.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a family of five who play soccer, a Nissan Sentra is great for commuting, but boy, that's rough for
a long haul.
Get to those soccer games.
That's right. So that's an example of selecting the right product and then making sure that you're selecting it for the right reasons. We've seen some selections happen for many number of reasons, but I've even seen some happen because they happen to like the salesperson the best. And the salesperson goes away after sales. And it went a little bit rougher once we got to the implementation team.
I like to tell people, the guy with the pocket square has a lot to tell you. But when the guy with the backpack and the glasses shows up, that's who you want to hear from.
Yeah, depending on the conversation.
Start asking itself. That guy yeah. questions, yeah.
Right. So you'd also want to consider if you are going to need hybrid ERP extensions and if you need small verticals and exactly where that secret sauce is going to live, if we're going to watch the customizations and making sure we're not slanting too hard to full customization. We're trying to go out of the box as much as possible and see yourself in that product line and really help you with the selection process. So there's a space where you kind of narrow down to a few products, compare and contrast them, narrow down to which product you want. And then oftentimes we don't see this a lot that customers catch this on their own, but you can select the partner to implement with you separate from the product.
Right.
In many times. If you end up selecting a product based off a vertical that this vendor has tailored to, then it's kind of baked in together. But many times you don't have to do it that way, but it would be part of the selection process.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the partner completely separate. And I've seen examples and we've seen examples of this not necessarily connecting. So as an example, we can see that the customer is really fit for the ERP product, but their partner that's helping them implement is not a fit for the organization. And that's where the friction lies.
Yeah, there's more than one round of shopping when you make these kinds of changes. One is the product you're going to use, and the other is who's going to help you use it.
Right. And separating those two, I think, is a critical part of understanding even this, just this episode.
Yeah, we could probably do a full hour on that topic.
Just how those two pieces separate. Yeah. Yes. So from there, you've decided ERP is for you, and you've selected a product, and you're ready to implement, and you've selected a partner to help you. Last but not least, the super easiest step, of course, is to just turn it on, implement it, right?
Yeah, 100%. You just pull the disk out.
Oh yes,
and put it in the server. You click next six times.
No cloud.
It installs and then run.
Oh,
and done. It's super easy. Implemented.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess I said you could have, instead of the CD, you could have downloaded it. And then
you could download it, or just log in.
Right, just log right in. Yeah, it's completely cloud based. You don't even, there's nothing to install. There's no server. Just log in. It'll just work the minute you log into the cloud. It's ready to go.
So we're good.
Done.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. No, wait.
I think there's more.
Oh,
I think okay. We missed a few steps.
All right. So the good, the bad, and the ugly of an ERP implementation. We could go into examples of that all day, but this is a misfit. So we want to go into all the hard work that you do, acknowledge and support that it's coming, because it is a lot of hard work. But we've seen awesome implementations when everyone is on board, ready to go. The business as a whole has selected this ERP. They're all in on it. Their hearts are into it. They're ready to go. Then we start 6 months to a year.
Yeah, this is not something you're like, we're going to go live in January 1. So we downloaded it on, or we got our licenses all set up. And so we got about 6 weeks to go live. Oh, yeah,
just go live.
Nope.
Yeah, it just kind of really does depend on the organization and its complexity.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But traditionally, we would say 6 months is blazing fast.
Yeah, 6 months would be a very fast prep and prepare.
Right. A year is what people target. 18 months is probably where we see it hovering. And 2 to 3 years is not unheard of for sideways versions.
And
things that go a little sideways.
And so much about that is just learning how to read and write and getting people committed to the process. It's so more about adoption than it is the actual tool.
Right. That's what we would highlight in this area, which is the people and process side of things, because that ERP is going to offer the quote unquote best practices. You have to be careful not to take that as, you know, the all set and true. And so many of them today could offer 5 or 6 best practices you can choose from.
Yeah.
In just this one.
There's
space.
More than one best practice.
Right. And there's different variations, and how do you fit into that variation based off the decisions you made on step 1 and 2?
Well,
before you got to step 5.
Yeah, and not to mention, unless you have an endless bucket of resources, you're going to have people doing their process every day to run your business, mm-hmm. and then you're asking the same people to help you make this change and change any processes they need to mm-hmm. to adopt the new way of doing things in the ERP.
Right. Let alone just conceptualizing, showing up to meetings, giving answers, testing it, what have you. So the general idea is that your people and process gets reviewed in some detail. Your leadership has to be backing them to make sure that they have the space to work through this process. Also, leadership has to make plenty of decisions, commit to those decisions, mm-hmm. communicate those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Change management is needed. How is this change going to impact the people process? How is it going to add new positions, take away old positions? All of this kind of thing is in the mix. And then your implementation partner, how well are they adapting and working with your team? What kind of responsibilities to the project do you have to internalize? How much can you lean on your implementation partner for these roles? And then technology, of course, what features and functions and actions and reporting and awesomeness can it give you access to? When will those things be realized? Are all part of this mix?
Yeah, I think this is one of those, maybe one way to look at this is you really want to get cut and gain muscle and be prepared to, you know, run a marathon or climb Everest or live to your 110. It takes a commitment to do those things. Mm-hmm. If you want to be at your best and you want to feel healthy all the time, and sure, there's ways to get through life. There's medicines you can get and quick fixes you can get for moments in time. But if you're looking for that holistic, healthy approach for your business, there's a commitment you have to make. And the ERP adoption is a commitment you have to make. You're going to change ways that you work most times when you do these things, unless you're just really process driven. And this is just, oh, we're just changing one type of exercise for another kind of exercise. I already wake up at 5 every day. I've already got my routine down. Most of the time, that's not the case with a lot of people we work with. There's going to be, oh, we never really wrote this process down, or boy, we got to really think out what this means when we want to make this change and how it gets pulled into accounting and when it becomes something that goes in inventory that you haven't had to think about before. And so you have to really set aside that time to say, okay, no, this system's important. We're going to stay focused on the strategic reason we're making this change, and we're just going to work through these transitions and be prepared for grumpiness. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when you ask people to change, it's always uncomfortable. And so you, especially from a leadership perspective, help be the captain, stay the course, help people see where you're headed and work through the grumpiness.
Right. And the why of what we're doing. So we have selected this product and this partner, and we'll be there for the hard stuff, and we'll answer the questions, and we'll make decisions that are necessary and what have you, so that we can get through this together as an organization. And why are we doing this? Because of the other side, where we can grow and we can make it easier to maintain this business at a higher level. That's the main goal for any SAP, Oracle, Dynamics, any kind of product you're implementing. Their main goal is to add efficiency, control, and scale to your business at whatever level that you need. That's the main purpose. So from there, all this boils down to an example we have of a misfit, which is seeing an SAP, large-scale SAP implementation happen in about 6 months with the business in tie. And we may asterisk this to say that it did go live and we have additional phases, and you're always adapting and continuously improving and adjusting this ERP. So it definitely doesn't go live in 6 months like magic and that's it, you're done. Never change the system again until 10 years from now because you spent more money and it's stronger and better.
Yeah, right? the room's going to need more than one coat of paint.
Right. So in this case, we've seen it happen and we've seen a lot of success in selecting the technology in and of itself and then bringing a few to the table for the business to actually make the final selection, also select the partner separately, finding a partner that you jive with, and it's a lot more on that people and feeling side of things, I suppose, on the implementation partner part, because they were so integrated into the daily routine and we had to work really hard together in some really challenging times where we're exhausted and what have you. That implementation partner that we did select in this example case that we had really did just jive, and it made it much easier because the technology is dry and it's on the other side and it's not really there to deal with the feeling. So it's going to either work or not depending on how you've asked it to function.
Right. Yeah, having a partner that's committed to the mission and not the paycheck is a valuable thing to find.
And try to work with you long term through the next phases. And if you can really build that momentum, that's what we've seen really work for this test case or this case example that we're going through. So they really did implement, went live with the product. Everything went out the door as expected when it did go live. And then from there, they made adjustments and, oh, this decision we made to do cost accounting in this one area needs to be adjusted and go back to the out-of-the-box theory. We made a case for why it needed to be customized, but now it's actually taking longer than we really thought. Can we put in a new concept for the next phase, if you will, to readjust it back. These kinds of things are all in the purview of implementing an ERP successfully and then continuously running it and improving it from that point on. So we've covered a lot in this one quick session of ERP basics, really high level. What is ERP? Why do you need it? And how would you get it? From here, we highlight in this episode, don't go it alone. Try to find a partner to help you walk the path. Many times if you do have an accounting group or an audit partner, something like that on your accounting side, they can give you recommendations, but a lot of times they're not supposed to tell you who to pick because it'd be a conflict of interest. So there is spaces where you can get recommendations or look for organizations that are trying to stay that agnostic viewpoint and really help you through this process. Your IT or IS department, if you have one, should be slated ideally to help you walk through something like this. So if you can harness your team for that, then definitely take advantage of that as well. Number two, select the product based on the organization's selection of it. Making sure that the business is making that selection, I would say, is one of the highlights of our successful implementations we've seen.
If your brain trust isn't the one that's buying into it, you know, the team that you go to about any changes you want in your business, whether it be operational or sales, what have you, the ones that you talk to about, hey guys, we have this change coming, or I have this concern, should be the same people who are helping you make the decision about this ERP selection.
Right. And then of course, prepare and support the people and process that are going to do the actual implementation with the partner you selected. They need a lot of support. This is a big ask for them, especially if, you know, I have decided to be an accountant and close books as a living. Now you want me to implement software and tell people what I do and that it's right or wrong. And this is not part of my job description, right? Yeah.
The more you prepare people for change and support people through the change, the better the process is going to go.
Exactly. And then get ready for the power tools that you'll get on the other side, those features and the functionality and the efficiency that ERPs are meant to facilitate. Get ready for that, highlight that, and try to harness as much energy out of that as you can.
Yeah, I was thinking of a power drill I had one time that had a couple of different settings, and it's a good idea to get familiar with those settings before you go just trying to screw into the wall.
Right.
Because you can do so much more if you don't pay attention to do much more than screw a screw in. You can power it through into the other side of the wall if you just aren't paying attention. So being familiar with the settings is a good idea.
Right. And you should see that as part of the implementation, but definitely keep your eye on that, because otherwise you may end up just recreating what you've always had in a more powerful system and a little bit of wasn't exactly what we wanted.
Become craftspeople. Pay attention to your tool.
Right. And these tools and spaces and vendors, what have you, will have trade shows and all kinds of information.
That online webinars, constant training available to you.
Right. So it is a space. ERP is a space where you can really go down rabbit holes. And if you aren't so inclined, which most of our dear listeners wouldn't be necessarily inclined there, just make sure that you're keeping your eye on that target, because that's why you're doing this, is to advance the company, grow, learn from others, take advantage of wheels that have already been invented, if you will, and the constant evolution of the product, the technology, and what's coming next.
Yeah, all those things you see coming that you hear about, from analytics and predictive analytics and artificial intelligence and machine learning, and there's a laundry list of next gen, but this ERP step of getting your enterprise system into one box will go a long ways towards you taking advantage of all those innovative things that are coming.
And they're constantly baking it into the ERP product line so that it gives them a competitive advantage in the product line that you're in. And these days, the ERP is on the cloud, so a lot of times they come with the latest and greatest. They automatically patch them. The days of running a server and doing a CD and running an upgrade that way are past us generally. We see a few customers that are still in that space, but generally, if you're going to be buying a new ERP, you're in this space where it is constantly moving on you, so make sure to keep your eye on that as leaders of the business.
Yeah, that'd be constant pull.
Constant pull forward. And that has to be built into your business process at this point.
Yeah.
Going forward with this this implementation. So from there, I think we've basically covered all the basics.
Yes, we've covered all the basics.
At least to get started.
I think we gave a good splattering.
That's right. So we hope that you found some value in this conversation today. And we appreciate and thanks for listening. Please join us next time for more mayhem and misfits.